Michelle.
I'm excited to hear what she has to say.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. Really, man, I was listening to all the testimonies and here in the manifestation. Boy, I mean that girl. And I just thought, I just thought, I am in the presence of greatness. Like, you guys are amazing. And your hearts for God and your willingness to step out and be bold. And it encourages me to want to, I mean, because it's not, God is so good in that he doesn't compare us with other people. Like, he's not going to look at me and say, well, you're not doing, you know, Al talked to 5 people in Vegas. Who'd you talk to? Not that one. I did talk to somebody, but it just was different. It was different. But yay, God just lets me be on my race. And he works with me and continues every time that I am willing to say, okay, Lord, let's do this. He's willing to walk through with me. And maybe the opportunities that I don't take, he's ready with the next one. He's ready with the next one. So thank you so much for inviting me into your lives and allowing me to be a part of that and to walk with our Father together and our Savior Jesus. I love it. So good. We're our official news. So thank you so much to the Axtown board for giving me the opportunity to teach up here. I mean, every time we talk and we're together, it's a teaching in the fact that, again, we're learning from each other. But I'm thankful for the opportunity to officially stand up here and the honor to share the word with you guys. Again, I know I keep sounding like I'm, it's so good though, I just have to keep going because the fact that you guys have welcomed me into your life. I am new to this area. I've only been here since August, but I have felt just immediately brought into part of things and for things made available for me to work with you all and work with our Father together. However, the official reason why I came to San Diego was for this little girl. Where is she? I like birds too, but that bird wasn't a star. Oh my gosh, look at her, she's got it. Can you zoom it in at all, Carly? Or is that just the file I sent you? Okay. Oh, can you guys see very well from back there? Do I need a new one? Let's put one more up there, Carly. Perfect. Leave that there. That is awesome. Okay. This girl is my pride and joy. Her name is Stella Ann, and she is my 1-year-old niece. She actually turned 1 in November, so a few months more now. And my sister lives here as well. So I moved from Ohio cross country to know her. I loved her on site, of course, because she's my niece, she's my blood, she's my family, but I didn't know her at all. And now, after being here for over 6 months, I mean, this girl is my buddy. We have so much fun together, and I just love being around her and spending time with her. And, like, you know, when I leave, there's this connection, and she doesn't want me to go. I mean, of course, I don't want to go either. Like, we go to Vegas for a week, and I come back. And, you know, before, when I was in Ohio, I would see my sister once or twice a year, if that. And I never saw Stella. And now, after we've gone for a week, I'm like, I miss my girl. Like, I want to see him all the time. But I've also been surprised at, so I knew that I was going to love her. But I've been surprised at what God has been teaching me through her. And let me tell you, it's a little humbling to learn lessons from a 1-year-old. I'm going to get to that. But I just wanted to share with you guys some of the things that I've been learning that God's been teaching me from how Stella approaches life. So go ahead and turn to Luke 9 for me, please. Luke 9. So Stella, when I first got here, she was crawling. And she's been learning to walk, and she's actually getting really good at it. But this picture actually was taken the day that we went to the park together. We love going to the park. And she's really good at walking. She's gone from crawling to, really, she skipped walking and went straight to running. But the deal is, she walks like this, right? But when we're at the park, she has a tendency, like, she'll try to look behind because I'll follow behind her to make sure, you know, kind of let her lead the way as far as we're not getting crazy with it. So as soon as she looks behind her, she falls. I mean, she gets back up and she keeps going, but every time she turns to look behind her to look at me, she falls. And it was crystal clear that that's how sometimes we are in life, that as soon as you look back, you can't look back and still go forward. It doesn't work for Stella. It doesn't work for me. It doesn't really work for any of us, I don't think. So
in Luke chapter 9, in verse 57,
so this, Jesus and the disciples, and this is some people wanting to come to Jesus Christ to be disciples. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Jesus, Lord, I will follow you whithersoever you go, or whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Jesus said unto another man, follow me. But this guy said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but you go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, well, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God, or fit for the work of the kingdom of God. And if you look down the very next verse in chapter 10, after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. And if you follow that through, that's the section where he sends out the 70 and they come back, and Jesus says that he saw Satan falling and lightning from heaven, and they're so excited because they did all these miracles and great things, but it started with people saying, okay, I'm going full bore. Because that's how God and Jesus Christ are. They are full bore forward all the way. And, you know, I see this with Michael and Mary Ruth. They have been very upfront and open and honest with us about stuff that they came from and situations that they've dealt with in the past and places they've been. And, you know, if they wanted to, they could sit in shame. And they could sit in guilt. But that's one of the reasons why I asked Kelly to play that song. You know, there's a war between guilt and grace. But grace wins every time. And I see that with them, that they're not looking back. And they're not focused on where they came from. They're focused on where they're going. They're focused on what their purpose is, what their vision is. Like this explosive evangelism. How awesome is that? And you guys are all part of it. But a lot of that I know is spurred from Michael and Mary Ruth doing the Agape Now outreaches, doing what they feel that God has called them to do, despite what their past holds. In Hebrews chapter 12. And if somebody gets there before, well, actually, even if you're there with me, if somebody can read verse 1 and 2 in chapter 12, I'd appreciate it. This is coming right after the Believer's Hall of Fame.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Awesome. Thank you. Again, laying aside the sin which does so easily beset us, let us run the race that is set before us. Like I said in the beginning, that God has given us all the race to run. And it's individual race, and we get to run it together. And it works a whole lot better if you're not looking behind you as you're running, because you're going to trip, right? That's what it says all the time. But it's not just referring, that verse talks about sin, which does so easily beset us. But it's not always bad things that we have to leave behind. It can be good things, too. Like when I was in Ohio, I was involved with a program called Fellow Laborers with God. And it was a leadership training program where young people from all across the country would come, and they would live together for a year. They would work in the community, and then they would also help out with the church that we were a part of called Christian Family Fellowship. Every kind of ministry you can think of, from setting up chairs, to cooking in the kitchen, to working with the kids, to holding a home Bible fellowship, right? And the idea is that you're exposed. We have people come in and do special classes with us, and you're exposed to all these different things, and to see how God works with you. You know, when you're put in some really uncomfortable situations a lot of times, and again, you got to dig in and, okay, God, like, what are we doing here? And it was so cool. Like, I went in, I actually was a part of the program, and then I became a peer mentor,
And then I ended up, before I left, I was an assistant director and living as a resident advisor with the fellow laborers. So I was deeply involved. And it was amazing to see how God and Jesus and the power of the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit, it changes people's lives. I mean, it makes a huge difference, which I know you guys see as you work with people too. Well, that program ended. There is no more fellow laborers with God, as far as the official name goes. And it was a really good thing. People's lives were changed. Differences were made. But it was time for something else. And the time for that program was over. And it took me a minute. Because I was like, well, but it's so good. It has to keep going. But God showed, or I learned that, you know, just because something is good doesn't mean it's always good for that particular time. And just because something ends doesn't mean it was bad. And so I had to, for me, when I was dwelling on what used to be, I found I was going to miss what God had for me in the here and now. That there were new things and different things that God was calling me to and doors that He was opening. And if I didn't let that go, then I was going to miss it. You know, I love Pastor Paula White. She puts it, she said, it's what you're willing to let go of that often determines what will come into your life. Now go to Philippians for me, please. Philippians chapter 3. And could someone stand and read verses 12 to 14 for me? Philippians chapter 3.
Not as though I had already attained, either or already perfect, but I follow after it that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Awesome, thank you. And that apprehend is like to seize or to eagerly take. And I wanted to read you guys a little back up a little bit and read part of this in the NIV, because I think how it explains it, it makes it a little more, well, makes more sense. Helps expound on it, we'll put it that way. So this is, I'm going to start in verse 7 and go through. Verse 8. But whatever was my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Verse 8. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this, not that I know Christ like I can, not that I'm Christ-like as I want to be, or have already been made perfect, right? It's a continual work in progress. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I continue to press on, to move forward. Go to Proverbs, please. Proverbs chapter 24. And verse 16. I've been in verse 9 for a long time. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. That's chapter 24, verse 16. Another thing that Stella completely amazes me at, so she's getting a little better now, but when she was first learning to walk and run, she fell all the time. Mm. And every single time she fell, she didn't sit there and, like, you know, I at first was like, oh my gosh, are you okay? I mean, just nothing. She does this little wiggle where she sticks her butt up in the air first, and then I wasn't going to X out for you totally because, you know, it's just not cute when I do it, but she sticks her butt up in the air first, and then she pulls herself up and gets right in, and then she just takes off again every time. And it's just, it's a living example of this verse. When a just man falls, those seven times, he will rise again. I remember hearing a friend of mine, Nathan James, teach this verse, and I know I like to focus on the rising again part, because that's a lot nicer. And he says, you know, he's like, it's not, he's like, he doesn't say if a just man falls, it's when a just man falls. He's like, it's part of life. At some point, you're going to fall. You know, God, unfortunately for me, God has been very clear throughout his word that we will have trials, we will have tribulations, we will have struggles, like, it's going to come. And the difference is, what makes the difference between how your life is going to go is how do you handle those? What do you do? You know, do you have to sit there and mope, or do you get up and keep going? And keep, like we read in Philippians, right? Pressing on. Go to John 16. John 16, and this is right before Jesus is entering into the time of crucifixion, right? So 3 days he's going to be beat, he's going to go through a lot of really awful stuff, he's going to die, and then he's going to be dead for a while before God gets him back up. So we're entering a really, just very emotionally, mentally, and physically trying time for everyone involved in this situation. So Jesus has spent quite a few chapters building the disciples up. He's giving them comfort. This is where he talks about the vine, abide in me, for I am the vine and you are the branches, about the comforter is going to come, the spirit of truth is going to come. He talked about the woman being in labor and the pain she's going through, but in the end she's had a baby and won't that be awesome? So at the end of all this, in John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Again, you're going to have tribulation, but I have overcome it for you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 37, you don't have to go there, but it talks about that we are more than a conquerors through him that loved us. Philippians, him that strengthened us. Through him that loved us, right? And I remember, again, pastor talking about, it was Creflo Dollar, and he said, to be a conqueror, to overcome something, it means you have to have something to overcome. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to rise again, you're going to have to fall first, unfortunately. go to Revelations, please. Revelations chapter 3. And I'm going to let Susan, that in the red, right? Did I say that? Beautiful. Susan, can you read, because I saw you saying that before, Revelations chapter 3, verse 21. And this is coming from the angels when they give the letters to the seven churches. Jesus is delivering a message through the angels to the churches.
"To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne."
Thank you. And that's a theme through those letters in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, and chapter 2, verse 17. Again, it's to him that overcomes. To him that overcomes. And remember we read in Hebrews about Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He ran the race, and now he's set at the right hand of the throne of God. So he's saying, look, when you overcome, you're going to have stuff. But when you rise up, when you get up and you overcome, you're going to step with me at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, it talks in Ephesians that we're seated in heavenly places. Such exciting stuff. And, like, this is where I'm learning. Because my tendency, my natural man, is I want to sit and kind of mope and feel bad about what I've been through, especially if it was something that I don't consider my fault. Like, this past December, I had a pretty decent job when I got here. I was working for a law firm. I was doing research for them. I was writing these really intense stories. And I come into work on a Friday, right after Thanksgiving, so we're entering the holiday season, right? It's always good to have a job in the holidays, especially. Entering the holiday season, I'm sitting down to do my research. I get called in on a Friday morning, and within an hour, I had packed up my stuff and was gone. because they let go a whole part of a department. Not for anything we did, but because they just didn't have the money to pay us. So, see you later. It was not a good moment for me. I just got a job this past week, hallelujah. So it's not been God is good for a couple months, but God is good always. That's not what I meant. God is good always. So Friday I come home, and I'm getting there, guys. I'm getting there. I'm working on the storytelling thing, I guess. So Saturday morning, I was supposed to do my Saturday to work. So Shati immediately knew something was up because rather than rolling out and moving, and I just was like, you know what? I'm sleeping in. I ain't working. I'm not doing anything. I'm just sleeping in. So she texted me, you know, how you doing in there? What's going on? So I thought, well, I guess I better at least leave my room. So I leave my room, still in my pajamas, still just kind of mad at the world at the moment. And Shati was getting ready to go out shopping for refreshments for here, actually, for fellowship. And so, more out of just common courtesy than actually caring, I said, well, do you want me to go with you? And her whole face lights up, and she's like, oh, well, do you want to? And this is why I am not Jesus. My first thought was, no, I'm going to sit here and be upset and be in my PJs and just be depressed because I felt bad about the fact I had nothing to do with that, and it was a crappy situation, and I just want to revel in it. That was my first thought. Thankfully, I didn't actually say that out loud. And my second thought, which one day, God and I know I'm going to get to, this is going to be my first thought. My second thought was, it's not about you. You know, again, in Hebrews, we look into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And whenever you look to God, whenever you look to Jesus, who they always crisscross, I mean, they always put you at each other, right? I mean, and it ultimately, it ends up in looking at other people. Because that's where their heart is, right? God sent his son to save the world. I get to be a part of that world, but it's not just about me. So, I changed my mind. I said, okay, let's go. Let's do it. And from that point, that mental shift, it made a big difference. And so by the time Monday hit, I was hitting the ground and I was looking for other jobs. And, you know, it's been a walk, like I said, these past 2 months and some different stuff that I've had to deal with. But praise God, I do. I have a really awesome job that I'm going to be starting next week working with. Talk about explosive evangelism. I'm going to be working in a ministry dedicated to evangelism, helping them run their website and doing their content. So using my skills towards a worldwide spiritual purpose. Like, how awesome is that? Praise the Lord. So thank God, whenever we fall, we can get back up. And actually, you guys can go ahead and stand up for me just for a minute, because I know I've been talking for a little while. So we'll just pretend, like, this is what happens when you fall. You just get back up. And if you need to, like, stretch or shake it, you can do that. Not a problem. And then we're going to have some more pictures. All right. Everyone, arms up. And just raise our arms to the heavens. Thank you, God. He's so good. And you can just tap the shoulder of the person next to you, let them know they are loved as well. And then you guys can sit back down. Thank you so much, if you don't mind. So, Stella's been teaching me not to look back, that when I fall, I just need to get back up, and it's going to be all good. She's also been teaching me which is something that was brought up today, about joy. And if you can pray through to another one for me. Okay, this is Stella, and this is our kitchen cupboard. She has pulled all of the pots and pans out and just climbed in the cupboard. And she has this little, she just was happy little clam. Mm-hmm. Next picture. Aww, and you can just leave that there. This other little girl you might recognize is Maddie, the gelatin one, his little girl. And that's Stella over there. She is just enthralled with her toy. But Maddie is the same way with this, in that both of them just have this pure, unadulterated joy. It radiates out of them. Like when Vicky talked to the gentleman, he was having a rough life, right? Going through some stuff. Like, I can't even say that I've been there, done that. But his first comment was to her, I'm blessed. Like, because that joy, it just flows out. Going back to Stella and Maddie, too, I bet Katie and Stephen both have stories. She gets so excited by the littlest things.
Like, I was giving her a bath last night, and I splashed her. Or no, actually, she just splashed herself. She would just splash, and it was, she loved it. It's so fun, I've got this water on me. You know, and nowadays we'd be like, please don't get me wet. She loves it. You know, when we walk in the park, I mean, the park around there is more of a green space than an actual park. Mm-hmm. And so, there's not a lot for me to look at, but Stella was fascinated by the grass and the rocks and, like, the different textures of the plants. I mean, just incredible. You know, we were in the horseshoe court, and she thought it was amazing. Just, oh, and the other thing I was saying is so cute. You know, we have, she has a lot of toys, and she has a lot of games. But one of her favorite games is this. So you're staring at her. And she loses it. She just starts laughing and just has the biggest ball out of you turning away your face and looking at her again. And again, she just, this joy comes out. Maddie has this beautiful smile. Whenever she smiles at me, I know my world's all good. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Go to John 15. We should put it close to John. I meant to make you clean your nose. I'm sorry. That's one of the reasons I asked I asked Kelly to have us sing Joy, Joy, Joy at the beginning, because it's such a fun song, and it's almost impossible to sing that song and not have a smile on your face. You know, if you're just reminded, like, just serve a really good God and a great Savior. And I should let it go. All right, John chapter 15. Can someone read verses 10 and 11 for me? Thank you.
It says, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have spoken these things to you that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full.
Awesome. Thank you. That my joy, that Jesus' joy might remain in us, and that our joy might be full. And if you go back over to John 16, which is where we were earlier, we were talking when Jesus was talking about, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. A little closer up from that, in verse 22. Ye now therefore have sorrow. This is Jesus talking to his disciples right before the crucifixion. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. In our Constitution, it talks about we have rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? So happiness, it can be a little fleeting. You have to pursue it. I might be happy one day, I might lose my job the next day and not be quite so happy, and then get my job and be really happy again. But joy is an internal thing. We choose joy. No matter what situation we're in, you choose to be happy, or you choose to have that joy. And it comes from, which the Hebrews 12, and keep going back to that, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And where is he set down now?
Right hand of God.
Right hand of the throne of God, which we're going to be there too. Hallelujah, when we overcome. So to do that, you have to focus on outside of your circumstances, because your situation, it might not be a very joyful situation. And it's okay to say, I don't like this situation sucks. But what are some things that we have to be joyful about? Tell me about our God and our Savior. What are some good things about him?
He loves
us. We love him, yeah.
We can speak in tongues.
We can speak in tongues because we have Holy Spirit, right, and we have that connection with God immediately. Like, we get to communicate with this creator of the universe. Still amazing. What are some other neat things about God?
Healing is available.
Healing is available, yes, of course. Jeannie just talked about, right, instantaneous miracles. Sometimes healing takes a while longer, but praise God, we're always moving in that direction. It is available. Let me get one more. What's another really cool thing about God?
Faithfulness.
Eternal life and faithfulness.
Yes.
Same thing.
Because it's that good. Right. This world is not my home. And regardless of circumstances, we can have joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It comes from knowing how good our God is.
In Psalms 9, we don't have to go there, but he talks about, you know, I'm going to be glad and rejoice in you and show your marvelous works. I love this line I heard. If you let your heavenly Father give you even the tiniest glimpse of how much he adores you, someone said about if God loves us, you'll be magnificently overwhelmed by his lavish love. No matter where you are or what you're going through, whether you're down, whether you're up, where you're looking, your God loves you. Your Savior Jesus, your brother Jesus Christ, he loves you, died for you. He's still living for you. And that joy just becomes, again, it comes out of us. And I have to, again, the example of this for me is Shati. She is incredible. Like, when I first met her, and she's always happy and joyful all the time, right? I thought, oh, well, it's because her life is so wonderful. Like, nothing bad ever happens to her. That's why she's always happy. Like, if I was like that, I could be happy too. But no. Like, after living with her, I mean, they do have a great life and a great home. But Al and Shati have troubles just like anybody else. They have bad days at work. They have people that don't treat them right. They have stuff they have to deal with. And yet I'm telling you, every time I've been around that woman, she overflows with joy. First thing in the morning, she is so joyful. When I get home from work, she is so, she is just happy about life and our God. And she'll say, Joelle, this world is not our home, right? Thank God, this world is not our home. Jesus is coming back. And it's such a great example to me, and I'm sure to you guys as well, that's possible. Just like Mabe. Oh, look, I love it. It came up finally. Look at that grin. She loves it. I mean, this is books to the library. She's still learning how to read, but I'm teaching her to. I'm not teaching her how to read. But I'm teaching her to appreciate books. We're having a good time with that. I did want to read to you one more little thing here. And this is from a book called A Touch of Wonder, An Invitation to Fall in Love with Life. And it's a guy talking about how I've mentioned different people that have inspired me. It's a whole book of people that have inspired him. And so he's telling a story about he was falling down at that point and was just upset about his work and some stuff he was dealing with and just in a funk. Right? Has anyone ever been in a funk? Yeah. Glad you guys filmed me. So he decides he's going to go fishing. And where he was, there ends up being a gentleman that goes fishing with him that was on like the same pier, a rabbi, and they have this basically fight with the bass, and they end up losing the bass, and I mean, how he describes it is beautiful, but we'd be here for a long time. So you'll just have to get the book and read it. But at the very end, after losing the bass, they fought and they lost, and the fishing line's all tangled. The rabbi is just, he is loving it. He's like, oh, marvelous. And he goes, on the shore, my new friend turned and made a little formal bow, his friend the rabbi. Thank you, he said. Thank you for one of the great mornings of my life. Thank you, I murmured. I watched him go up the path through the dunes, and some of his phrases came echoing back to me. The footprints of the sea, the shell with sunrise in it. There was a kind of secret joy in them, and now I felt I knew what the secret was. This man didn't concern himself with looking forward or back. He didn't regret the past or flinch from the future. He lived in the present, the actual graspable moment of existence. And I thought of that other rabbi, Jesus, who said, take therefore no thought for the morrow. I picked up the backlash reel. With my knife, I cut away the snarls and tangles, threw them over the side, watched them drift away. There was still plenty of line left. I put the boat in order. Then I went back to the demanding hours, back to the love and work and friends and family waiting for me in the marvelous here and now. So what I would like to end with us today, thank you guys so much for walking on this journey with me and loving my little niece. I hope one day you get to meet her as well. But I'm going to end today with having us, if you would please, we're going to be praying in groups of two or three, and you can kind of mix yourself up as you need to, but there are some specific things that I'd like us to pray together about. When we were here last time around, Kelly taught, and she talked about Band-Aids and how we have wounds sometimes, emotional wounds,
that we don't really let heal because you cover it with the Band-Aid, and so it kind of sits there and just festers. Mm-hmm. And so she talked about that sometimes we have to just rip off the Band-Aid, which hurts for a moment, but then it allows God to come in and heal that heart, heal that emotional scar, heal that emotional wound. So I'd love us to pray together. If there's anything that you need a Band-Aid ripped off of or a wound that you want God to heal, we can lift that. Places where you need to turn away from the past, where we talked about that you've got to look forward, to go forward. So if there's something that you're looking back at, good or bad, that God can help us let that go. If there's a spot in your life that you feel like you've fallen, you haven't risen back up yet. You know, that the just man falls seven times, he will rise again, like my niece, and that you need to rise again. So you can pray about that together, pray over each other. And then the final thing I would love for you to do is just minister joy to one another. We get to have joy because it's a fruit of the Spirit, but sometimes we just need a little extra to be reminded of that. So if you can finish with that, and after that, I know that they've got dinner stuff going on and fellowship going on, but that's how I like to end. So if you guys can do that together. Thank you so, so much for listening to me. I appreciate it.